General Tommy Franks, head of U.S. Central Command, will retire from active duty later this summer. General Franks is widely credited with developing successful war plans for Afghanistan and Iraq, military victories that resulted in far fewer U.S. combat casualties than expected. This Memorial Day weekend, as Americans remember soldiers who gave their lives in service to the country, there's also relief that the Iraq War will likely turn out to have one of the lowest U.S. casualty rates of modern warfare. NPR's Eric Westervelt examines some of the reasons why.
The Iraq War saw U.S. troops in some of the fiercest ground combat since Vietnam. In Anajaf in late March, for example, troops with the Army's 3rd Infantry Division came under repeated Iraqi mortar and rocket-propelled grenade fire.
Behind this?
Where's the rest of my guys?
While the Iraqi fire was often intense, it was from irregular forces. And lucky for the U.S. fighters, these Ba'ath Party militia were hardly expert marksmen or mortarmen. Their fire was consistently inaccurate. In contrast, the U.S. would more often than not respond with deadly accuracy, a central reason for the huge difference in fighting casualties.
So if one side delivers disciplined, well-directed, well-aimed small arms fire at the enemy, and the enemy just simply shoots back at random, you are going to have a huge disparity in casualties.
Retired General Bob Scales notes other key reasons for the disparity. The majority of U.S. forces were mounted, meaning they were protected inside armored vehicles or tanks. 81% of American armed forces killed in action in the last 5 wars were dismounted or on-the-ground infantrymen.
So having soldiers mounted and well protected has an enormous influence on reducing casualties. And the final thing I would say probably would be the use of individual body armor. Huge technological breakthrough, this individual body armor that covers the sensitive, most vulnerable parts of the human body. And I think that went a long way to reducing catastrophic injuries from these close-in firefights.
Other factors include U.S. forces' huge advantage when they fight in the dark using thermal and night vision equipment that the Iraqis didn't have. Even if they had overcome those technological deficiencies, the Iraqis were up against vast air superiority and its precision firepower. 161 U.S. servicemen and women have died in Iraq so far, with more than one-third of those from accidents. The low U.S. combat casualty rate in Iraq is in keeping with the 5 major U.S. conflicts of the last decade, which Professor Robert Pape calls the decade of precision air power.
In the first Gulf War, Americans suffered slightly fewer than 150 battle deaths. We suffered very low casualties, almost practically no casualties in our victories in Bosnia and in Kosovo. Less than 100 special forces died in Afghanistan in 2001. What that means is, over the entire decade of precision, the United States has won 4, if not 5, major victories with fewer than 500 battle deaths.
Pape, author of a book on the theory and practice of air power, says the Iraq War outcome supports his thesis that for the U.S. to win, it has to combine precision air power in close concert with fast-moving armored ground forces. The U.S. must not, he argues, rely on air attacks alone to take out key leadership targets in hopes that the rest of the enemy forces will fall as a result.
We've tried this numerous times over the decade of precision. It has failed. We tried it at the beginning of this conflict against Iraq, and it also failed. The real precision revolution has been the use of air power and ground power together, like a hammer and anvil. Air power and ground power working together to smash the enemy army.
Still, the low U.S. combat casualty rate is little consolation for the families and friends of those Americans who gave their lives for the U.S. war in Iraq. Eric Westervelt, NPR News.